Good morning, saints. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, I've got a word for you today. After 43 years, I like to think that when we get here in the morning, the pastors, and we stand here, that we have something from God. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, well, let's see what we'll preach on today. And it has amazed me over the years that I have never stood up behind the pulpit and said, you know, I've got nothing today. Wouldn't that be a strange thing if the pastor showed up and said, I've got nothing today? But I know it's never happened to Pastor Ralph. Thankfully, it's never happened to me. But I've got a word, I believe, for you today that will, I hopefully, encourage and challenge you. I want to talk about the potter, the wheel, and us. That means if there's a potter and if there's a wheel, then us is what? We're the clay. Amen. Listen to this. Don't go any further. Is that Jody back there? Jody, don't go any further than that right now. Because I want to read from the King James Version. I ran it off so I make sure I didn't have to bring two Bibles with me. From the King James Version. It says, woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the one who's making the pot strive with a potsherd. And he goes on to say, thus saith the Lord. This is from the Lord. The Holy One of Israel and his maker, Israel's maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I've always wondered about that. And one day I saw a book. An entire book was written on commanding the hands of God. A well-known TV ministry. And I want to see what he had to say about it. He said, I went to this verse. The King James Bible is the only one that says that that way. And I wrote the book because I want to write it that way. Regardless of what the scriptures in context and the laws of hermeneutics says. In other words, there are certain laws you follow. So I want you to remember that. He said here, concerning the works of my hands, you command me. Folks, that can get you in a lot of trouble. And we're going to show that. And at the end of the message this morning, I want to read that scripture from a different translation and show that's not... I don't know whatever happened to that book, and the man is not on TV anymore. Maybe somebody addressed the issue. But let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege of sharing your word. We've sung your praise. We've come to you with our needs and our concerns. And we've fellowshipped around your presence and in your presence today. Thank you, Father. Pray your blessing now on those who wanted to be here but could not be here. And those who are here this morning, I pray our hearts will be open to hear and to receive what you would say to us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to touch our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Jeremiah was told by the Lord. Let's go to the scripture. The scripture is chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. And here's what we read. Jeremiah verse Chapter 18, verse 1. Here's another message to Jeremiah from the Lord. It's from God. He said, Jeremiah, go down to the shop where the clay pots and jars are made. Go to the potter's house. Did you know that T.D. Jakes has a large church down in Texas, and the name of the church is the potter's house? It comes out of this thought here. Go to the potter's house, and I will talk to you there. You see, long before we had PowerPoint and visuals, God used to use PowerPoint on them. He said, I want to give you a word, but I want you to see it. So go to the potter's house and see this, and I'll tell you something very special. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. The potter was working at his wheel. But the jar that he was forming didn't turn out as he wished. So he kneaded it into a lump and started again. Now, if we read it in some translation, it sounds as though the potter made the mistake. His hands didn't form it. But that was not the... What Scripture teaches us here is the clay got off-centered. We had a lady in our church in Calgary who was taking courses in creative arts and jewelry, and she had to take a whole course on pottery. And I said to her, I said, Christy, what's the number one thing you remember about pottery? And she said, there are many points, but one that you have to stay centered. You have to stay in the middle of that wheel. Right? You hear me what I'm saying? You have to stay centered. And she remembered that in all the things that she was taught, she remembered you've got to stay in the center of the wheel. And the marring, the spoiling, happened because what the clay did, not what the potter did. What I love about this here, it does not say he grabbed the mess and threw it aside and started over with a new lump of clay. He said he just kneaded it. You know what kneading means? He just, you know, ladies with the flour? He just kneaded it and got it all, and then he started over again, centered on the wheel. And then the Lord said, O Israel, this was a word to the nation of Israel, but I want you to know, Paul will back me up on this, the writings of Paul, that many of the things that happened to Israel is applicable to the church today. And this is one of them. You're hearing me? This is a good application for the church. It's a good application for Jubilee this morning. He says, can't I do to you as this potter has done to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. We have a place in Barbados called what was it called? It was the Potteries, I think it was called, and it's still there as a tourist attraction. But when it was just a little one, we were camping down in that area, and there was a big rainfall, and a lot of the topsoil and the clay had been washed out on the beach, and my cousin and I found just layers and layers of clay. We cleaned off the sand, and we started trying to make stuff with it, of course. We were just 9 or 10 years of age, but working with clay. I remember that. So when my dad then took us later on back there to the potter's places where they were actually, they didn't have electricity back there. They would take these big wheels and they would spin them and get them moving really fast and then drop the lump of clay and then they would. You know what you can do? I did this. Just Google, you know, Mr. Google, he knows everything. Google videos, potter's wheel. Interesting. Very, several dozen of them, and how they actually, some wheels are the old one where they spin it. Many of them are just the electricity. They have the electricity, and that wheel just keeps spinning on there. So here is what we have. Number three, please. We have the potter, we have the clay, and we have the wheel. Now, God makes it very clear. The potter is God. The clay are people. In that case, it was Israel, but Israel is made up of people, even as a church is made up of individuals. And the wheel is the circumstances as life turns. Now, here is Isaiah 64 and verse 8. Let's just go to the next one because I've got it there for you. Here's what we read this verse. God's speaking to us and says, or we respond, Isaiah is responding to him. He says, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. I want to just get that settled in our hearts this morning before we go any further. Amen. I know you've heard messages on this before, but I know the Holy Spirit said, touch on this morning. Somebody needs to hear this one more time. Number six, this is the scriptural explanation of man. He is not here by accident. He is here because an intelligent, creative God has put him here. Are you okay with that? I would hope so. The Persian poet, Omar Khayyam, I don't know if you read any of his writings, but he saw this differently. He agreed with what the clay was. He agreed with what the wheel, but he said that the potter was simply chance. Chance. And my mind went back to when we were in Calgary. It was a family who had started coming. They weren't coming very often. They had a farm outside of the city. And they had a 14-year-old son. When he turned 14, His dad had given him a little dirt bike right around the farm. And one day he decided that he was going to go out on the gravel road with it. It was just 14 and a half maybe. And he went, he left, his dad saw him leave and saw him go down the road and didn't come back right away. He thought maybe he'd go around the whole section, come in from, he waited and waited, didn't come back. So he got in his truck and went down the road, and already there was a couple of cars parked. The young man had swerved, the car had come too close. I guess they're guessing what that happened. He hit the ditch, broke his neck, was killed instantly. Folks, they're trying to work this thing out. If you've had that kind of a tragedy, you know it's hard. This past Thursday afternoon, I had a funeral for a gentleman, 102. And for the last number of weeks, he was getting little glimpses of heaven. His daughter said we would just hear him, and he'd be in his bedroom, and sometimes he'd be speaking German. He was German. Sometimes he would speak Russian. So he was from Yugoslavia. I'm not sure what they speak there, but whatever it was. He says sometimes he was speaking in tongues. But every now and then he'd get a glimpse of heaven. I want you to know what a privilege it was to conduct that funeral. Amen? If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you know the pain has been erased. If you could only see me now. But folks, when there's a casket with a 14-year-old in it, you've got to come up with some answers. And I shared with the family and hundreds that were gathered there that day. Church was packed. A lot of tears, a lot of why? How? Where is God? What happened? What just happened that we don't have a son anymore? Life tells us that we have a choice. Three different mindsets to go with. Let me share them quickly this morning. One, chance. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, sera. The theory says that you can't tell what's going to happen. It happens, it happens. Anything can happen. Man has complete freedom to make choices, to do whatever he wants. If he wants to be good, that's fine. If he wants to be bad, that's fine. Things that have happened might not have happened. Things that did happen might not have happened. Whatever. Happen or not happen, not happen or happen. Life is a gamble. Your luck can go anyway. There's neither pattern nor plan. Everything is blind chance. This is Omar Khayyam's approach. He was a well-known poet and in his writings. Good luck, bad luck, one way or the other. Do you? I don't know if you go for that. I don't. You know why? There's no room for God. Like, why pray? It's going to happen. It just happened to be under a building and something falls in and hits you in the head. It just had to happen. Your time. Just had to happen. Wrong place, wrong. Folks, we can't go there. Amen? We can't go there. The second theory is fate. And it's at the other extreme of chance, other end. This is the exact opposite. Whatever happened had to happen. It's all a part of a great big plan. Everything is predetermined. Everything is preordained. Something happens, it had to happen. Life is like a great big puppet stage. Nothing happens unless God pulls that string. When something happens, God pulled that string. It was fated to happen. Therefore, it had to happen. God is in complete control. We just have to accept it. One day we may understand. Folks, that's a hard one to preach at a 14-year-old funeral. I shared the theory. I don't go for that one. Somewhere between these two, there's a third one. We call it, is it up there? Providence. And I like to call it providence with a capital P. Here, let me just give an explanation. I'll be the first to say it doesn't answer all the questions. It doesn't solve all of our problems, but it gives me something to go on with. gives me something. It says that man does have a free will to do whatever he wants, and God will let him. He'll try to get in his way like he got into Jonah's way and all the other great men and women of God and your way sometimes. But it says, excuse me, God has voluntarily limited himself in how he runs your life. He's not running your life for you. That was the reason he created us in the first place and gave us the will. But it says that at the same time, God is always moving through the whole of life, and it's that great stream of the love and patience and compassion, the will of God, the providence of God. His dream. Let me put it this way. His dream for us. His dream for us. He's there, he's caring, he's loving. And no matter what the situation is, it never gets beyond the providence of God. See, there are many things that have happened that are not God's will for my life. God did not plan them. But if we can get the wisdom and the understanding and the trust to say, but I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and will willing to fit into his purpose. And you know how I'm seeing that this morning? To those who love God and keep repositioning themselves in the center of that wheel. Regardless of what the wheel does, and regardless of what the circumstance, the wheel may stop, but we've got to stay in the center. The wheel may go fast sometimes, but we've got to stay in the center. And all things, that potter will take that piece of clay, our God, and will make something beautiful out of our life. Remember that? I thought it was a Bill Gaither song. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusions, he understood. Thank God for that. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is there a place where that lump of clay, as Potter puts it, is there a place where that lump of clay is a finished vessel? Is there a place where it is completed? It is perfected? You know, we would go into that potter's little place there and we would see beautiful ones on the shelf and stuff like that. Some were for sale. Is there a place where that lump of clay is completed? Here it is. In the mind of the potter. Amen? In the mind of the potter. It is completed. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this, we've quoted this over the years. For I know the thoughts, the mind. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. To give you a hope, a future, an expected end. I have the finished product in my mind for you. Can you believe that? Can you trust that? Take some trust. I have a finished product for you. And it's a good plan. I want you to say that in your heart this morning. It's a good plan. It's a good plan. You can read Jeremiah 29:11 in many different translations. It comes out the same way. What God has planned for you is a good plan. As I was meditating on this week and thinking about this, believing about that plan that God has for me, and then communion this morning, I came back in my mind to that place where the hour for Jesus had arrived. Remember, many years he said, my hour has not yet come. There was an hour in his expectation. I used to think it was the cross, but I don't believe it was the cross. I believe it was the day in the Garden of Gethsemane. He left the eight at the mill. He took Peter, James, and John a little further. He said, you stay here and pray for me. Pray with me. Intercede. He goes a little further and came to a stone and he began to pray. That's when the sweat drops of blood. And as a man, here's what I saw this week. As a man, he had to come to that place where he turned his will over to the Father, representing us as a man. And he knelt there and he knew what that meant. And he said, Father, if there is another way. But then he submitted and he said this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he put his lump of clay, his humanness, his humanity, he put it on the center of God's wheel. And he said, thy will be done. That's why he needed the prayer support. He goes back to the guys and they're sleeping. Wow. Thankfully, the angels came and ministered to him. He needed that. But in that moment, I saw this for the first time. In that moment, he did what we have to do. We have to come to that place where we put ourselves in the center of that wheel and say, not my will, but thine be done. I mean, when the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. How did he do it? He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and cometh worship. And then what's the first thing? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, in my life, in this earth here, be done. Thy will be done in here. You with me here? Thy will. Jesus was our example, and he as a human being represented us, had to lay his life, his lump of clay, in the middle of that wheel. Here's what he said to Jeremiah. He said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as my spokesman to the world. He didn't say this to all of us. He said this to Jeremiah. But it gives us a glimpse of the plan that he has for us. A good plan. Come on now. A good plan. That should get us excited. Amen? Really, as we sit here on Sunday morning in Jubilee, we should say, wow, our God has a good plan for my life. A good plan. But then he interjects this. We can go to the next one. I don't know if it'll come out. Yeah, there it is. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It got off center. Something went wrong. And again, in the Hebrew, there's no suggestion that the potter marred it. The suggestion is that the clay did not respond and yield to the potter's hand. Where's your clay? Where's your lump? Is it where God wants it? The next slide, please, Jody. Every vessel is successful only when it allows itself to be shaped according to the will of the potter. I believe there's nothing wrong with every morning when we get up saying, Lord, I just put myself in the center of that wheel this morning and say, thy will be done in my life today. Are you hearing me? Thy will be done in my life today. It gives me a little more confidence to know that I have yielded. I have yielded. You remember the verse I read at the beginning concerning the works of my hands? Command ye me. Let's go to the next verse. Okay, that bottom line didn't come up then. When we get to that bottom line, I really want you to pay attention. Woe to the man who fights with his creator. Does the pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with him who forms it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Or does the pot say, how clumsy can you be? God is saying that Israel was challenging him and saying, what are you doing, remember, in the wilderness? Why did you bring us out here in this wilderness? Why did you do it this way? Lord, do you know what you're doing? Why did you do it this way? the baby, woe to the baby just being born who squalls to his father and mother. Why have you produced